Last November's election got Isaac Celia, the artistic director of Queen City Opera, thinking about its upcoming production of Mozart's Don Giovanni. Isaac, what did you change when you came to your production?
Well, Don Giovanni is a work that has sexual assault and consent and the treatment of women by men in power right at its core. And with that issue suddenly thrust into the forefront of everybody's consciousness, I thought this is an opera that has a very relevant and important message for the cultural landscape in the United States right now.
Well, even classic operas can be catalysts for looking at political and social issues, and many of them were disguised as operas. These were social responses. Just ask Giuseppe Verdi about that.
Totally. But this one deals with a main character who is a rich nobleman who spends his time manipulating and abusing and taking advantage of women. And I think there was a performance tradition that arose in the 20th century of kind of casting him as a charismatic protagonist, that, you know, kind of the women are all falling for him and he's seducing them. But when I was looking at the source material, the Tirso de Molino play, and looking really closely at the score and just thinking about what's going on right now, I realized I don't think that's the message that's there or the story that I'd like to tell by presenting this opera. I think that what he's doing is wrong. He's not a seducer. He's a rapist. And it's important to come out and call the rapist a rapist. And he gets his just desserts at the end of the opera.
Well, let's review the plot just in case there are listeners who don't know the story either of the Tirso de Molina play or of the opera itself.
Don Juan in the Spanish original, or Don Giovanni in the Italian version, is a young licentious nobleman. And he makes a habit of seducing women. And he has his sidekick, Leporello, keep a catalog of all the women that he's taken advantage of. And in the opening scene, we see him running out of the apartment of Donna Anna, who's the daughter of a military commander, the Commendatore. And she's chasing him and telling him that she's going to figure out who he is and get revenge on him. The Commendatore comes out to figure out what's going on and challenges Don Giovanni to a duel, and Don Giovanni ends up killing him. So the immediate question you have when presenting this opera is, was this just some type of consensual sexual activity that went wrong, or was this an attempted rape and she chases him away? And I think it's definitely the latter. And then over the course of the opera, Don Giovanni tries to manipulate everyone else in the story into thinking that, oh, no, I'm a good guy. You know, all these women are mistaken. But they figure out who he is. They figure out that he's done something wrong. And at the very end, there's a supernatural punishment that the Commendatore comes back from the grave as a statue and drags Don Giovanni to hell.
Which is pretty remarkable considering he's only been dead for maybe 24 hours.
If even, exactly.
But I think the other part of it, too, is that the Don, as he is known, is frustrated at every turn in the course of this opera. He never succeeds.
Exactly. Exactly. I mean, it's almost, that's one of the great ironies, is that he allegedly has slept with thousands of women. And over the course of the entire opera, he tries unsuccessfully to seduce or rape or whatever you want to call it in each of these individual situations, multiple women, and fails at every turn.
And how are you staging this? What kind of production values are you using?
So this is a traditional setting set in 16th century Spain, but we're partnering with both Jewish Family Services and the Education Department of Planned Parenthood Southwest Ohio to present workshops on consent and on sexual assault, so that when you come to the performance, the first thing you see, if you come an hour beforehand, is this workshop on what is consent, what are the hallmarks of consent in any interaction, and what is sexual assault. And that will arm the audience with a framework and a rubric to look at Don Giovanni and say, okay, so when he's singing this duet with Celina that many times people just think is this innocent love duet, this really isn't consensual. He's really pressuring her.
Who's going to be conducting these workshops?
So we already had two workshops, one with Planned Parenthood Southwest Ohio and one with Jewish Family Services. And they went incredibly well. We had some really, really interesting discussions where we just had a discussion of what is consent? What do you look for? And then, like, we handed out red and green cards that people could hold up as we performed scenes from the opera when they saw that Don Giovanni was getting too close to someone, you know, physically and they didn't want to, they could hold up the red card. Or when we did like a scene where Mazzetto and Zelina, who are a married couple, are having a discussion and then have a consensual interaction, they could hold up the green card when they see the hallmarks of what a consensual interaction looks like.
And further complicating this is that, at least at the time at which this play occurs, is what was known as a droit de seigneur, which is, from what I understand, something that never really took place, but was understood as the ruling lord's right to have sexual relations with any woman he wanted,
exactly.
including Zerlina on the night of her marriage.
Yeah, exactly. And that's right at the core of the plot of Marriage of Figaro, which was, you know, another one of these great collaborations between Mozart and Da Ponte. I mean, I would argue that both Mozart and Da Ponte were revolutionaries in their time. I mean, if you look at Mozart's other operas, I mean, there's reason to argue that even Magic Flute was allegorically a kind of an indictment of authority and of obscurantism. And even though they still had plenty of conservative baggage that we can look at now, it was pretty radical just to be putting noble characters in a position where we can see all of their flaws and all of their warts and asking, like, should they really have these rights and these abilities?
Well, tell us about the cast.
So the stage director is Josh Shaw from Pacific Opera Projects, who has made his fame by presenting a production of Mozart's Abduction from the Seraglio set in the Star Trek universe, which has toured to many, many opera companies throughout the U.S. But even though that's kind of his aesthetic worldview, this is still going to be a traditional production. But he's very, very good with comedy. The cast is almost entirely local CCM-trained singers. We have Alexandra Cherny as Don Anna. We have Aaron Kesey as Don Elvira. We have Melissa Bonetti as Zerlina for the ladies. Then the gentlemen are Mike Young as the Don. We have Adam Chofari from Columbus, who's singing both Commendatore and Mazzetto, since they're never on stage at the same time. Then M. Andrew Jones is singing Don Ottavio, and Darrell Acon is singing Leporello.
That's great. And of course, you'll be in the pit,
yeah.
so to speak.
Right.
This is at the Dunham Art Center, correct?
Exactly.
Who's doing your set design?
Usual team, the Queen City Opera Classic team, is Lizzie Duquette doing the sets. And we have David Aravalo, who is living in Price Hill and has worked extensively at the Santa Fe Opera, who's doing the costumes for us.
Well, it gives us a lot to think about during these very challenging times.
Totally.
Thank you so much for being with us.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me here.
Isaac Celia is Artistic Director of Queen City Opera. The company presents Mozart's Don Giovanni, May 26th and 28th, at Dunham Arts Center in Price Hill. You can find out more by going to our website, wvxu.org/aroundcincinnati. I'm Ann Arenstein. La cidarem la mano, la mi dirà.